Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I am Jim Galante. Along with me, the brains behind HVU Insider, and that's Mike Villagrana. Mike, how's it going, buddy?
It's going good. Another week. I think we're full circle in the my household with summer mode. We have one more week this week. My wife's a recess aide, and she can't stand every day because it's just the kids are mad. It's just madness. Right. And now at home, personally, I talked to you off air about it. I'm doing my pool. I had to replace a whole pool pump, filter, all that, shock system, first time ever. So I'm a little tired right now, but I'm going to pull through because I'm excited to get this ready for the kids. The kids kind of put the pressure on me because, you know, like, yeah, we want this pool, want to get this pool ready. I'm like, okay. And then that started at 12 on Sunday or Saturday, and then at 1:45 a.m. I finished, only to wake up to another number of problems with the dang pool. But we're getting through it. That's what I got going on right now.
Well, what's funny is you and I texted back and forth because, you know, I have a pool too. You know, any advice or whatever, and the best advice I could possibly give you is call the pool guy to do it.
Yeah. Well, my wife, it's almost like kind of a challenge. Like, so the pool pump broke, right? So we bought a new pool pump, filter, the whole system. And I said, you know what? I'm going to try to ChatGPT this thing my way through it. And you know what? For all the haters out there about the ChatGPT stuff, it worked. I sent you the instructions and sent
yes,
me. Yep. Sold that thing to a T, and it did. It worked. So shout out to the new Claude model that got me through that. It took 13 hours, but I did get it. It was fun.
What I thought was funny is, yeah, you sent me that list of instructions and you said, hey, does this look right?
Yeah.
And I said, not only did it look right, it talked about being careful when installing with the sand filter. There's the arms inside of it that be careful you don't crack those, because that's the exact issue I had, and they couldn't find it. Literally, I had an entire season of sand getting into my pool because of this crack. So, yes.
Yeah, yeah, it was great. And the other thing too, so I was very motivated to make this work. Obviously, I was up past 12 midnight trying to get it to work. More so because my family pretty much is on my butt and making fun of me because the Marzano tomatoes that I planted last week have officially died. And my family and kids love making fun of me for that. So me, this is my second. I'm following this project up with my Marzano tomato failure. So I really got it. I can't go back to back losses.
Well, I'll tell you, and I won't get into the story. You and I talked about it a little bit. Like, I have a weed whacker issue. It's not working, and there's a part missing that I reordered. Wrong one comes in. I tell you what, we both need to just plain hire a handyman, okay, and stop doing this stuff. All right, let's move on, Mike. As much as I know everybody wants to hear about our handyman failures, let's move on. Let's talk some college football. And Mike, I want to get into this a little bit. In college football, once you start paying money to these kids, you start to, at least as fans on the outside, you look at things a little bit different. Like, okay, these are professionals being paid. They need to act as professionals. There's more responsibility going on. And we've had a couple stories this week come out that I'd like to talk to you about. Let's start with Brendan Sorsby. For folks who don't know what's happening, Sorsby was the quarterback at Cincinnati, enters the transfer portal, ends up at Texas Tech for very big money. supposedly he was had a buyout clause, which that's a whole nother story. Now we find out he's addicted to gambling. It's crazy. Not just, occasional wager, but it's like 20-some, 30-some wagers a day. And he's betting on college football, and he has wagered on his own team. Mike, this is just a crazy story. And now the ruling was, no, he's not going to be eligible to quarterback for Texas Tech. Texas Tech's appealing it. They think a 2-game suspension would be fair. This is craziness.
Yeah, and it just compounds with everything else that's going on in college football, right? Like, it's just one mat. Like go back 10 years, right? And there's no NIL. There's not all this kind of reform and restructuring. And it's just, say, status quo. And say just Brendan Sorsby's story came out, this would be huge. This would send shockwaves throughout college football and college athletics. But it's kind of – it's just kind of gets thrown into the madness of everything else going on. But yeah, there's just no way that they can let this go. It just opens up Pandora's box, betting college football players. You can't have that. And you know, he hired the best lawyers. And then like, when you listen to the language that the lawyers put out there, it like, I don't know, depending on what judge listens to it, it does sound like, oh, poor him. But he knows the rules. This isn't some new rule that was just said. Everybody knows this is like the worst thing that you can do to hurt your eligibility if you do get caught. So I just can't believe that there's a chance that he's going to play a couple of games. I just think it sets a terrible precedent with with college football, with everything else that's going on too. So. I think the plan is he's going to appeal it. Like you said, I doubt that he's going to win that appeal. And then he'll enter the supplemental draft. That's where I think that's probably where it's going to end up going. To me, that's the most interesting part, because I'm going to be curious to see what NFL teams are interested in him. He'll be the biggest supplemental draft pick since what, Josh Gordon way back in the day. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays, but unfortunate. When you see these things happen, obviously with everything else going on, with everybody fighting about money and conferences and everything, you just don't want this stuff because it just adds to all the madness. And kind of it spreads. It's really kind of spreads the leaders thin. I guess you call them leaders, but the NCAA with what they have to get taken care of. But really unfortunate, especially at Texas Tech. You know, like he was their guy. It's going to be interesting to see what they do now. It's just a mess. It's unfortunate.
Well, a couple things. And I know we're here to talk about college football, but you brought up a good point. He will go into that supplemental draft if he can't get any college eligibility left. But what's the NFL's thinking on this? Now, if there's one thing in professional sports you don't do is you don't gamble on your sport. We saw, and many folks may be not old enough to remember, Pete Rose, who bet on baseball, he was banned for life, couldn't go into the Hall of Fame, all of those things. That's the one thing you do not do. And Brendan Sorsby did it, and they're asking for a two-game only suspension against – a couple of out of conference cannon fodder, so it wouldn't even have an effect. So would the NFL, how many teams would be anxious to draft him, and could the NFL actually suspend him before he even plays for this very fact of gambling?
I mean, remember the players that got caught, the player with Detroit, I forget the player's name, but I mean, that was a year-long suspension. The NFL does not play around with gambling. I think the problem with the gambling is it's only getting the opportunities to gamble are only expanding. And, I come from Youngstown, Ohio. I have a lot of degenerate friends. and been around a bunch of degenerates. And back in the day, I mean, those guys, they would have to get a bookie or something like that to do bets. And now it's like you got the poly market thing where you can just like bet on anything and everything if it's going to rain outside, you know. But the prop part is where I think I've heard some people on the national media touch on that. If we get rid of that, at least that can help kind of monitor this, because that just puts a target on all of these players in all sports, right? You know, like Brendan Sorsby, he's a big name. But what about those like middle tier players that you don't really know about, but they get playing time and they're a prop bet? All right. Well, maybe they're a middle road player and they don't want to get they're not getting as much money as that top player. Well, here comes you know, Mr. Sleazebag, who says, "Hey, I'll give you a couple hundred thousand if you you know, you score over the 7 points you're projected to score, or you don't." Like, that's real stuff where you got all these, you have bad people out there. That's what they're going to do. They're going to target these guys. And so if you take away prop bets, at least in college football, I think that would help the monitoring system. And really, that it would, it's just tough for these guys. And that puts a lot of pressure on these players too, because now you got these degenerate fans. That's all they care about, right? So then if they don't score over X amount of points or get an X amount of rebounds, you know, they're on social media attacking them. It's just a, it's just bad. It just, it doesn't help, you know, it doesn't help anybody. But I don't know how you backtrack. You know, it's kind of like NIL. We started NIL and it's like, all right, we the toothpaste is out of the bottle. You can't put it back in, right? It's kind of like the same thing. I don't know the laws and regulations and how that could actually happen. But yeah, I think that would help. But yeah, it's just, it's so unfortunate. I was in a situation with one of the teams that I work for. Kid listened to the compliance director. Compliance directors, they come in, you know, quarterly, and they talk about, at least once a year, they talk, you know, to the team about gambling, what not to do, what to look for, and all that. And then it kind of like scared this kid. He had no idea. And he self-admitted that, you know, he bet on like a basketball game or something like that. Like he went to the compliance and told them, and he still got suspended for 6 games. But like these guys don't really understand, you know, and like it's happening so fast that I have no idea what you can bet on, but I know you can bet on everything.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, I got to cut you off at a hard break. We'll talk more about this 1 week.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana. It's quarter number two of our show. Mike, when we're wrapping up, we've been talking about Brendan Sorsby, who bet on college football. He's the quarterback transferring from Cincinnati to Texas Tech. And when you were talking about the prop bet issue, that is already a big issue. And I would not be surprised if they somehow curb that, try to control it, especially in college sports. If you don't know what that is, that's, you could bet on individual player performances. And what you have instances of is, like basketball might be an easier one. If the bet is, am I going to score over or under 10 points in a, I use 10 points because I'm not the star of the team who's scoring 25. Hey, bet the under. We're playing a team that's awful. We're going to win the game no matter what I do. it's easy for me to miss a couple extra shots or just not shoot and hit the under and, you know, make more money than I do, you know, with NIL. Ironically, years ago, players not making any money, that was the concern with gambling. Now they make money. But in the break, I asked you about NBA, and you mentioned Wemby, Victor Wembanyama, who plays for San Antonio. Absolute unicorn. He's a freak. He's crazy. But not this last game, but earlier in a week, his over-under was 28.5 points when San Antonio blew out OKC. 28.5 points. They were able to bench him early because they had the game wrapped up. You know how many points he had?
29.
28. And he was taken out of the game with 9 minutes left. Over half of the fourth quarter
that's
left.
That's insane. That's insane.
So, you know, some people immediately are questioning this. Well, I don't think there's any issue there. Hey, your best player, if you're going to win this, series, he's got to have to be your star. So if you could give him 9 minutes break in that fourth quarter, it's the smart thing to do. But instantly, that comes up as a possibility, and it's an issue. So could you imagine in, you know, college football, a player, as you said, who may not be making the millions of dollars, but he could affect the game. Maybe not even the result, the win or loss, but just enough to, he drops a pass because his over-under, you know, number of receptions, something like that, Mike. So I think do have to police it.
And let's be honest, too. Like, these are still like 18-year-old kids, right? Like 18 to 21-year-old kids that are now getting a lot of money. And just I'm just speaking for myself. When I was in college and, you know, I was a very subpar player, but I was part of a team and, you know, the whole college atmosphere and all that stuff. When you're around your boys and, you know, you're going out and you're kicking in, you're playing video games and stuff like that, like you're around other kids too. You know what I mean? And, you know, obviously football players are very popular and, you know, a lot of the kids that you're around, like they see that and they look at you. But man, like if you're friends with them, man, they might joke about it. Man, it'd be pretty cool. We could win a lot of money. It's natural. They're young kids and not mature enough and disciplined to really kind of hold themselves back from doing this stuff. And I think that's what happened with Sorsby. I guarantee Sorsby's like, I mean, based off of what I've read, I mean, he was given on like cricket or some crazy stuff, allegedly. You know, I could just imagine he's in the dorm or he's back in his house with his boys and they're like joking around about it. You know what I mean? Because they didn't take it seriously. And I think, you know, on a serious note, now that this has happened and hopefully this just will be an eye opener to, you know, all college athletes when they, you know, are thinking about doing this or they're around their boys, like I told you about, and you know, they get in, and now you got all these casinos and the sports books and stuff. It's and to be honest, the lawyers and that language for the appeal, like it's like, man, it is around these guys a lot, and how it you're put. It's like telling my little kid to say, hey, do not hit that red button. But that red button is right in front of him 24/7, right? My 7-year-old is going to hit that button at some point. Yes. You know? So I guess I'm not like playing one side of it. No, I am. You can't gamble. We can't go in there and we can't allow that. But at the same time, it is a different time and it is always in front of these guys. And then you add the social aspect of it too. It's tough. It's definitely an issue, and I think, I think the NCAA or whoever ends up being, you know, the leaders of the NCAA or college football or college sports and as whole needs to really dive into this and look at the current times and what do we have? How can we help them? more so than just like a compliance person coming in and talking to them one time. That's not going to do anything. You know what I mean? It may like scare them a little bit because they're going to say, hey, we have these new gadgets that can ping you if you're going to bet. I don't think those things are as advanced as they say. I think they have worked in certain instances, like at I think with Alabama's baseball coach, Iowa, they hammered down caught some guys from the technology that they have now. But I think as that technology gets more and more advanced, that will help. But I don't think it's there yet. I think this is a very serious problem. And Brendan Sorsby is definitely not the only one doing it.
Yep, you're right. And he's just the tip of the iceberg. But, and again, we're using the word allegedly. I read a story where, I guess in Texas, they don't have legal gambling there yet. So he has friends out of state who are placing the bets for him. So whatever the technology is, there are ways around it.
Oh, okay. Sure. Here's the buddy. I tell you what, when I was in college, you know, just a lot of teams, not just football, but, you know, we'd play card. We'd have like card night. You know, one of my friends, he's really good at cards. And we'd always, you know, play cards. What cards did was it invited gamblers, right? So like eventually those card games, there would always be like maybe one or two guys like pop up, like, who's this guy? Oh, that's Johnny's a boy that he met at whatever, right? But Johnny's boy is actually like a degenerate, right? Yep. So, but then he gets into that circle with all these football players and he sees it as an opportunity. And then he says, hey, why don't you put some money on this game, man? Like that happened. This guy got into our web, right, our circle. Yep. And then one of our players ended up betting and getting himself in a jam because he couldn't pay for his bets. And that was when did I go to school? 2003, 2007? Like that. It was happening then, and we didn't have this like DraftKings and all these applications in front of our face 24/7. Man, I just think like it is like you said, like it's sad, it's serious, and I could see leaders and some kind of regime coming in and really trying to, you know, put some regulation on this. I think it's more about educating the players. Right, like educating them, like how to act if somebody approaches you with this and that. But it's tough. I think we're just seeing the beginning of this gambling domino effect, and hopefully we can get under control because it's not good for the game.
Now, I've always been an advocate of educating, reinforcing the point, that type of thing, but. I'll go another way. I think enforcement is the only way. Even if, you know, oh, it's unfair to poor Brendan Sorsby. Don't care. A message has to go out. And my point being, Mike, is earlier you talked about, hey, we forget that these are young guys. And this may not be the perfect analogy, but it tells doing things that you shouldn't be doing. Speeding. Driving under the influence. Those things, you know, they've been warned. You know, they've been told. All of a sudden, they got money in their pocket and they got this souped up $100,000 car. Yeah, it could go 150 miles an hour. Let's go see it. And I think the best example of it is the Georgia football team that had, you know, violation after violation. Then they have an accident where someone died while they were racing. That certainly has to be the lesson, right, Mike? Right? It wasn't.
No. My problem with the culture right now is everything is, and it's just not sports, because I have a 7 and 11-year-old, and I'm going through this phase of life right now. Like, it's just madness, and I'm around a lot of youth sports, families, and teachers, and all that good stuff. But it's like hey, nobody's ever wrong. Nobody wants to take accountability. And specifically in like college sports, if somebody gets in trouble and somebody says, hey, no, you can't do this. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, you know what? I'm going to lawyer up and I'm going to sue you. That's the answer to everything. There's no as the great Joe Moorhead, and I use this with my kids almost every single day, is point the thumb and not the finger. Because it's just not sports. I think it's just our culture right now. You see, not to get too sidewind, but you're seeing this culture with teachers, and they can't stand it because there's this generation of parenting that is not holding their kids accountable. And so these kids are going into school and they're all just like wild and they don't do anything wrong. You know, my wife, you know, she'll hammer down on my son or my daughter. She's a recess aide now too. So, and it's just, it's unfortunate. Like, hey, the gambling thing, obviously. Yeah, or I can't gamble. It wasn't my fault. It's the culture's fault. I'm a lawyer. You know, like that's everybody's answer. And it sucks.
It wasn't me. It's a disease.
It is.
It's not my fault. It's a disease. So there's no punishment. You know, and when we come back after the break, I'll explain to you. Okay. It was a long time ago. I was a young guy. I was not scared of the repercussions, okay, of doing whatever. I was afraid of my old man. Nothing else scared me. My father scared me. All right, Mike, we'll pick this all up when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three of our show. He's Mike, I'm Jim. We're brought to you by HVU Insider. And Mike, I often like to share with the listeners what our conversations are like in between segments. We were like, you were telling a story about disciplining your son. We ended up talking about Hurricane Agnes and the Agnes flood from 1972. Now, for those of you who are youngsters, do like Mike did, look it up quick. For those of you who are as old as me, you probably remember it very well.
Yeah, I had no idea. I knew all about the Johnstown flood because I had relatives there, and I remember visiting them, and they took me to the museum and the whole reenactment. It was really cool, really cool at the time. And yeah, and then I had no idea. The storm of 72. Yeah, and I looked it up. I was like, legit bad.
Oh, yeah. From where I'm at, the Susquehanna River, and if you're in Harrisburg up through northeast Pennsylvania, and you live through it, you definitely remember it. So,
hey, real random, and whatever. I'm an idiot. When you're driving through there, and it kind of opens up, it's real pretty, and then you kind of see all the boats and the fishermen. That statue that's right in the middle. I know I can probably look this up, but what is that statue? It looks like a little version of random statue in the middle of the river when you're driving on the highway on the side.
Where at?
Like when you're going into Harrisburg.
Oh, okay. Well, the one thing, I don't know if there's a statue there, but the one thing, and this is really cool, in Harrisburg, they have a minor league baseball team there, Mike. I don't know.
On the island, yeah.
They have an island there on the river with the baseball stadium, which is the coolest thing going.
Hey, Winnie Hoover did an event with baseball when they played there.
That's right. I forgot about that, but that is like one of the coolest minor league parks there is.
Yeah. So,
Anyway, we'll have to get our Harrisburg listeners to let us know. Back to our conversation where we were sort of talking about college football and Brendan Sorsby and his gambling issues. But, Mike, there's also more going on. I want to bring up Chaz Coleman and what's going on with him. We all remember Chaz Coleman, real promising defensive end for Penn State. Mike, you were the first one to mention his name to me before last season even happened, before practice had started. Said, Jim, you got to watch for this guy. Really a pretty special talent. And he ended up in the transfer portal after the season. Everyone thought native of Ohio, he'd be back at going to Ohio State. He ended up at Tennessee. I think all of us sort of put the pieces together, said, boy, this must have been about, you know, the cash. Tennessee must have come in. Since then, we've gotten some pretty good evidence that that probably was the case. But now we have Chaz Coleman not showing up for summer workouts, all of those things. And we don't know the whole story. We don't know the whole background. But does this not lead into, boy, when there's money involved, this whole transfer portal and even recruiting these players, what Matt Campbell said about, we don't just want the best players, we want the right players. There's got to be a culture fit. Doesn't there now have to be, especially with all this money, a new standard that college programs have to have before they bring a player in?
Yeah, I think there's got to be some kind of vetting system, maybe almost like when you're hiring, you know, you do background checks, stuff like that. But look, Jim, like you can't bank on, you know, or well, he seems like a good kid, checks out, talk to his mom, all that. Like Chaz Coleman, to me, in my opinion, was an awesome kid. Came from a rough situation at home. And got to school. He had some good people around him to get him there to that point. And then the Chaz Coleman, and I've said it multiple times, I tell everybody this, like him and his uncle just seemed like a really humble kid. Even when he started at the beginning, when his name started coming up during camp and everybody's like, you got to watch out for this kid. And then he started playing. Even through that, I thought he handled himself well. But at some point, I think there was some people that came in his circle, maybe from back home. And look, I'm from that area. That's Maurice Clark School. We play them twice a year. It's a rough area. And so to see him come to Penn State was awesome. You know, Youngstown kid, and then he's like humble, and I'm like, man, this guy's a freak. I'm like, this kid's going to be a great story to come out of Youngstown and Warren, Ohio. And unfortunately, I just think, and I don't know, but I just probably had some bad people that got in there in his head and saw this as a payday, right? And what's unfortunate about this is like Chaz like has such a bigger payday potentially down the line, right? Yeah. It's almost like this transaction is like he made it. To like these people in a circle, and you know, those people, they want some of that. And you know, my boy, literally over the weekend, one of my best friends from back home I grew up with sent me a picture of Chaz, and it's some like pictures of him like wanting his money and all that stuff. I'm like, man, that's sad, man, because that's just not, that is like the completely opposite kid that I knew in my interactions. Granted, you know, I didn't grow up with him, I didn't know him like that, but that's just my impression. So, to your point, I think it's unfortunate because think about this too. Like, think about like how you could literally set yourself up financially if you're smart with this money, right? Like, don't even touch it. Like, we all hear those great stories about those guys that make it to the NBA or the NFL and they never touch their league checks, right? They just like they use the supplemental money, right? Like, that's amazing. Like, why? Like, I wish there was more of a standard and a setup for these kids, but it's not. There's not. Every school in America, in the country, is going to say that we have all these resources to help them out financially and financial literacy. They say that, but I really don't think it's really applied. It, you know what I mean? It's almost like the gambling thing that I told you. Like, yeah, Combine's going to come in quarterly and do their standard, hey, we got to scare you. But that there's got to be other resources, mandatory things for these guys to do. So financial literacy, I've met with a ton of people in State College that want to help these people. Fortunately, we have a good system here, and there's a lot of people here to help our players. But I wish there was like a standard that when they came in, maybe like when, you know, the rookies, they got to go to a symposium and, you know, they go through a whole day or days, I think, of basically learning and educating the players on what to do, what you're about to, what's about to happen to you in your life. I think the same thing should happen with these players. There should be some standard. But, I mean, the schools are doing it. I mean, the smart ones are going to do it on their own because it's really important. But Chaz Coleman's a little bit of a different situation. But, yeah, it sucks. I hope he ends up kind of getting back on track because, look, like I said, like this kid has a much bigger payday potentially down the line than – you know, the money that he got from Tennessee.
Mike, you hit on, I think, so many important things there. And you talked about, you know, like the NFL has some things when you hit there, you go to these classes. I talked to an NFL player about that, and he told me about those classes and how good they were, how important. The problem was he was the kind of guy who didn't need that kind of class, if you know what I mean. The guys who go and attend and pay attention are the ones who probably don't need it. It's the guys who blow it off or ignore it. Those are the ones who need it most. And, you know, it's like, again, off the air, we told some stories, or I told about, you know, my father. My father had the ability to just plain scare the hell out of me. And I was very capable of screwing up, but if my biggest fear was not getting caught by anybody else, it was about my father scaring me. Okay. And as much as at the time I really thought he was being unfair, I probably still think that, but it was probably the best thing for me. You know, I was scared to do something wrong because of those repercussions. And now we're talking about kids who, many of them come from an atmosphere that's, it's not a good neighborhood. Maybe there's not a father in the picture. Those kind of things where, and all of a sudden you're giving them $1 million. That is very tough to deal with. And, you know, you're there, you've been in multiple programs. Are the schools doing enough? You talked about, well, a compliance officer will come in once a quarter or whatever. Is there more that the programs could be doing themselves?
Well, yeah, and that's something hit when you mentioned, you know, the families and the recruits that are coming from families that are, you know, well off in some tough areas. I don't think it's just them. It's also that middle class. And, like, $1 million is, like, a lot of families and parents haven't made that. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like that's a ton of money. So that invites, you know, other people even in the middle class, right? So it's just not the ones that come from you know, tough areas that need more education. I think it's all of them, man. There should be some kind of standard class. But look, let's be honest. it's still gonna happen, right? It's not everybody's going to be an angel. It's just, it's never going to happen. But it would be good to, you know, have some kind of standard that, and maybe it would affect some players that are coming into college that now have a ton of money that, if they use it right, can change their life in 3-4 years when they're gone.
And, you know, you can't emphasize it enough how much the schools can do to help these kids out. And again, they're still kids. Think back, you know, most of our listeners are adults like yourself, like me. We think back to when we were 19 and 20 years old. We were very capable of getting ourselves in trouble.
Yeah.
And as you've pointed out before, give you $1 million when you're 20 years old, that would not have been a good thing at all.
No. And the thing too, like I've been frustrated with this, the narrative. I guess we'll go to break and I'll bring it back. But the narrative of like, they're just kids.
Right. Okay. Let's get back to that when we come back for quarter number four.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim, he's Mike. It's quarter number four of our show, and we're talking about college football and what's going on. And Mike, we were getting to this point of, you know, I'm saying, hey, these kids, they're kids. They're capable of getting into trouble. Doesn't mean it's right, but it's also, they are being treated like adults now. They are being paid. They are being compensated more than most adults are making. So there has to be some responsibility for it. And you were, right before the segment ended, bringing up the point of maybe being a little tired and said, well, they're just kids. And where that struck me, and this started, you know, a few years ago, especially with recruits who were interacting, you know, they were taking all of the accolades when they'd say, hey, I went to school A, you know, visited, it's great. They love the adoration. But then when they would decommit and commit to another school, they didn't want to take the heat. You know, they took the praise. Well, here's the problem, guys. You're putting yourself out. You're becoming a public figure. You're accepting that. You got to accept some responsibility also, Mike.
Yeah, and it goes back to, like, remember this culture, this generation coming up, is just like the accountability piece is just a little bit different. There's more pointing the finger than pointing the thumb, right? This is another, like, out for them, right? It's, oh, well, they're just kids. No, yeah. Like, they are held to a different standard once they sign that contract. Between the school and themselves, they're held to a different standard, right? They're getting paid now, so there's more responsibility that they have to be accountable for. And so when, you know, they hit a bump in the road and, you know, some people are like on them on social media, because that's what social media is. It is what it is. That's what it is. And then, you know, you get people, oh, why are you attacking? He's just a kid. This is part of it, man. Like, you have to be able to handle the good with the bad and vice versa, man. Like, it's part of it. It all comes down to these kids just have to grow up so much faster than when we did and when I had to. And gosh, that's it's honestly unfair to them. I can't imagine. I was the most, like, immature kid ever in college. And I didn't have money. I didn't have, you know, I wasn't a superstar at all, you know, but it took time, and I'm still immature. So I just can't imagine, you know, all the things that these kids got to go through, but it is different now. And I just don't like it. You know, they're just a kid, you know, no, like it, they're not, they need to grow up, because they have so many different things happening to them, and their decisions that they make right now at 18 as a freshman could really affect them in their entire life. And we're seeing that and seeing some use cases like the Chaz Coleman's of the world. And, you know, there's a bunch of, did you see the player that allegedly hit the portal to join the track team? And yes. That's the loophole now. Like, come on, man. And here's another thing. This is a side rant from this when I heard that thing. No matter what regulations we put in, no matter what, in 4 or 5 years, you know, the government comes in, everybody agrees to the conferences, to the money. We're just great, right? there's always going to be loopholes and cheating. Always. You tell me, okay, you can't use third parties anymore. Okay, it's just going to go back to the day where, you know, Bob from the dealership downtown will take care of you, right? That's going to happen everywhere. There's always going to be people that are going to bend the rules and try to find the loopholes no matter what. That's college football. And right now it's just wild, wild west. And all of those guys, it's just – everybody wants regulations. Does it? Everybody is always going to try to get an edge. And if that's cheating, it's been going on forever.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
That's right. And I heard that from a great young, I personally heard that came from a famous coach that coached at Youngstown State.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. has a couple natties back in Youngstown State.
Well, I always attributed it to the Southeast Conference and, you know, how things are there, which leads me to remember a while ago, Dabo Sweeney, Clemson coach, about the player who he had the notes. He had the text messages. He had everything. Somebody, they interfered, you know, and it was a Southeast Conference school, wasn't it? Or who was it that?
Yeah, it was Ole Miss. Yeah, Ole Miss and Clemson.
Okay. So what gets me now is, have you seen, you know, Kirby Smart coming out? And I've heard this from other Southeast Conference coaches where I'm okay with us breaking away so that we can make our own rules that we'll follow. Kirby! You're talking about the Southeast Conference and following rules?
Yeah. And look, Jim, I was at Mississippi State, right? And that was my welcome to college football moment. That was when, you know, I got Joe Moorhead give me the chance to run the Mississippi State recruiting department. I'm first time head of a department. Wow, man. Like, that was pre-NIL, right?
Yeah.
It is insane, this stuff that happened, that I got to – got to be a fly on the wall and like either hear or just like, because everybody talks in those spaces, what's going on, what you're competing with. Hey man, I feel really good about that. We're going to get Johnny because of this. The other school you talk to them. No, you have no chance. That one school, they got their dad a job, right? Or, oh man, he's a silent. This literally happened. He's a silent commit. One of the top running backs in the country. Perfect. He's gonna announce on his birthday that he's gonna he's coming to Mississippi State. Oh, he got a yellow brand new Charger in his two bedroom house on his birthday. And then granted, that kid ends up going to LSU. I've heard stories, and the Georgia stories that I've heard is high school coaches getting X amount of money to get those kids to commit. And then they get X amount of money when they actually sign. That was a staple. And you know, what's funny is when you, I don't know if you saw that roast between what's his name at Miami and Kirby Smart, Cristobal.
Yeah.
They were at that seat. They were at the Steve Spurrier, it was some celebration dinner for Steve Spurrier. And they started going back and forth. They started getting after each other because they're both blatant cheaters. Yeah. And they kept dagging each other, and they basically just admitted, that's just the name of the game. And at Mississippi State, you know, we were middle of the road. We didn't have all those resources. But man, the stuff that I heard, you know, the Alabamas of the world, LSU is just absolutely nuts. It's just different. There will always be cheating. Always.
And way before your time, because this has been going on for years and years, when SMU got the death penalty, it was that era, the star running back, the story went that he was given a Firebird, not by SMU, by a competitive school, whether it was A&M or Texas or Texas Tech. The other school gave him a car. And he shows up at SMU with his car that was given to him by an opposing team, you know, trying to recruit him.
And so now the cheating, I guess the equal to that now is the agent of that linebacker that was at Clemson in school in an 8 a.m. class, right, said, hey, I could get you basically $1 million. I have a way to figure it out. We can do a buyout, whatever. And he entertained it. Like, that's cheating. And then the kid goes, or that agent goes back to Dabo and says, hey, if you up it, we'll stay. Like, the kid was there in class and part of workouts. Neuhausel says it all the time when he talks about this subject. Like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? And the fact that it's been taken this long to actually come down on Ole Miss and do something tells me there's nothing going to happen. Because because they're going to end up getting sued. And the leverage probably is within the agent due to some kind of contractual language.
You know, earlier in the show, I talked about the young people that if you're not scaring them, if they're not scared of what the repercussions are, they're going to keep doing it. Well, we just gave the example. The adults are the same way, the adults in the room. Unless there's repercussions, unless you're telling, you know, Ole Miss and really sending them the message that tampering will not be tolerated, they're going to keep on tampering. And you know what's going to happen is Dabo, who put out all the evidence, Dabo's going to say, I want to compete. I better start tampering myself because everybody else is doing it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the toxicity of college football, right? It sucks. It sucks, especially when you're a team and you're doing it right, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You really feel confident that you're doing it the right way. And then to do it the right way and to get to the finish line just for somebody to swoop in and do it illegally, that's like that crushes you, right? That's like demoralizing. And, man, that happened so many times when I was at Mississippi State, right? Like, you know, if Mississippi State, like, had an offer or had a commitment, say Emmanuel Forbes or whatever, and we had to, like, really early evaluate and project because we're not going to get the top guys, right? And so what those schools do, they'll monitor the commitments of, like, a lower middle-tier SEC school and then try to pick them off because they know they have the money and the resources and they know they can do it, you know? That's just the name of the game.
And it leads to, Mike, something we were supposed to talk about today, which is there's a new allegedly bipartisan bill going through Congress that would try to help police and give the powers to be able to enforce some of these rules where there won't be the tampering, won't be the illegal payments, it won't be pay to play. The NIL one deals have to be legitimate. We are a long way away from that, Mike. Appreciate you, Mike.
Hey, Jim, you know what? Can I ask the listeners a favor?
Go.
If somehow, some way, if you're listening and you've grown Marzano tomatoes, please let me know if you have any tips or whatever, because I rarely failed and I just want to, I just want some tomatoes in 11, 12 weeks so I can make my sauce.
There you go. The most important point of this show. Make sure you join us next time.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.